This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture with me, T. Shao Ik, Lim Su Ann, and Julia Jacobs. So earlier in the Daily Digest, we discussed news that the venue for COP25 has been changed from Santiago, Chile to Madrid in Spain. And we looked at how it will affect delegates, NGOs and activists, especially from less developed countries. And now we're looking at Malaysia. The current monsoon season is well upon us. It's the year end. We know how to expect the torrential rainpours and with it, the perennial floods as well. And so far, four states, Selangor, Perak, Johor and Penang, have been hit by floods. And as of 26th of October, a total of 691 flood victims from 181 families in these four states were still being housed at the temporary evacuation centres.
Yes, and the East Coast states are usually the most vulnerable due to the northeast monsoon rains. And you would remember the floods in December 2014 being one of the worst in recent history.
Yes.
More than 200,000 people across 11 states were affected, while about 21 people were killed.
Yeah, and Kelantan, particularly the district of Kuala Krai, that was the worst affected state. The town of Mane Urai was ground zero. And when you look at pictures of the town at the peak of the floods, right, you can only see the rooftops of houses and shops, and the rest of it were just submerged under muddy waters.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It was. And you'd also remember reading that rescue and relief efforts were particularly challenged at the time. For instance, boats from the Kuala Krai Fire Department and the Civil Defence Department did not make it to Mane Urai Lama because they were overwhelmed and overstretched. And the floodwaters were so deep and treacherous that the boats took hours to get from one place to another.
And not only that, flood victims lost their livelihoods as well. Traders' shops were completely destroyed. And it took these businesses quite a long time to recover before because the entire state's economy was so hard hit.
Yeah.
And even worse for those who found for a living, because you lost your crops, you lost your animals in the floods.
And it's really heartbreaking. I just went and searched for some videos. This was 5 years ago, but it brought back memories of watching the news reports at the time. You watched residents just in tears, just breaking down. They had lost their homes, all their belongings.
Yeah.
And for months after that, and here's something that I think many of us, we sort of forgot after the initial, outrage over it. And we forgot that many of them had to live in temporary shelters for months after that, while they were waiting to be resettled, and some even living in their boats and cars and things like that. And here's an excerpt, just to give us an idea. Here's an excerpt from an episode of Majalah Tiga, which did a documentary in 2015, looking at the impact of the floods on residents of Kelantan. And in this clip, the interviewer speaks to a resident, Rosmarida Mohamad, and this is a clip in Bahasa.
Kenderaan dijadikan sebagai tempat berlindung seperti lori ini. Ia menjadi rumah sementara Rosmarida Muhammad bersama ahli keluarganya yang lain termasuk ibu dan bapa.
Mula-mula banjir tu saya duduk kat pusat pemindahan. Lepas tu dah ramai, penuh, nak tidur semua tak boleh. Mari duduk kat lori ni.
Ini lori siapa?
Lori ayah.
Kami dibawa untuk melihat rumah keluarganya yang sudah ranap. Kebetulan ibunya Wan Rahmah Wan Ahmad sedang mencuci pakaian kerana hari ini giliran kawasan ini dibekalkan air bersih. Rumah ini telah didiami 40 tahun lalu. Tinggal di atas lori, namun Rosmarida membina pondok kecil di tepi jalan ini sebagai dapurnya.
Oh, macam itulah, masuk dalam air hujan semua, tidur pun hujan.
Kat atas lori ni siapa yang
tidur? Ayah, lepas tu anak saudara seorang, tiga orang dah tidurnya. Lepas tu macam orang lain-lain lagi tidur atas kereta.
Hampir sebulan, Rosmarida, ibu kepada tiga orang anak ini, meneruskan kehidupan yang sebegini.
So in that clip, you hear about Rosmarida. She has three children and she has to live in her father's lorry together with her father as well. And you know, just waiting for their homes to be rebuilt. And, you know, she talks about how when it rains, they get wet, you know, at night. Yeah. It's heartbreaking.
Mm. Yeah. And now that with the recent, with the current monsoon season, now just last week, Minister of Health, Dato' Sri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad, said that the Ministry of Health is taking precautionary measures against the risk of dengue and other waterborne diseases during this year's flood season.
So I spoke to Associate Professor Dr. Shalima Abdullah, Vice President 3 from Mercy Malaysia, to find out what are the health risks that are present when a flood occurs.
Health risks can be divided into the waterborne diseases or waterborne infection and also vector-borne infection. So for the waterborne infection, people in flood areas, they can get diarrhea. How do they get this? It's because if during the flood, they may not have enough water to wash their hands with, or even in the evacuation center, because there are lots of people, they may not have time to wash their hands. So their hands are dirty, and because of that, when they eat the food, they get diarrhea. So that's number one. Number two, skin disease. People don't understand that flood waters can be mixed with sewage. And because, again, during floods, they may not have time to have a shower or have a bath. And even in evacuation center, no facility for showering or bathing. So this is how they get the skin disease. And also, they get itchy skin and they keep scratching the skin and they can get skin exfoliation as well. People also think that there's typhoid and cholera, but usually they don't, not normally you will get this unless in the evacuation center there's somebody who's carrying typhoid or cholera and the person is helping to cook or cooking food. And that's probably the only time they will get typhoid or cholera. And then the other one is this vector-borne. Vector-borne means a disease which is transmitted by mosquitoes. So this doesn't actually happen during the flood itself. It's after the flood waters have receded. So you have pools of stagnant water, and then the mosquitoes will breed in there. And also, again, in an evacuation center, you have many people sleeping next to each other, and you can get whatever. The mosquito is carrying dengue or malaria, everybody in the center will get that.
I also asked if the effect of these diseases would be long-lived.
For the diarrhea, it's short-term. This would be a diarrhea which is just caused by a virus. So after the flood waters have receded and life is back to normal and they have access to clean water, daily clean water, then that would go away. For the skin disease, that's the same thing as well, once they are back to bathing normally. But if, like I said, somebody, they contracted typhoid or cholera from somebody or somewhere, then that's when it may not be short term.
And Dr. Shalima also explained what are the immediate actions that need to be taken to mitigate the worst effects of a flood.
So number one is to actually not consider that water is something that you can play with. It's common that in flood-prone areas, because this is a seasonal occurrence, it's like, oh, okay, this is the time to play with water, especially with children. So the children should thought that water is not something to be played with, because number one, what is actually water safety? Because even in shallow water, you don't know when there is a drain or when there is a pothole, so you walk in there and then you fall down. And also like currents as well, that's number one. But the other thing is about the disease itself, that you can get a bacteria or virus entering you through your mucous membrane, which is like your eyes, your mouth and your nose. Mm-hmm. And that's how they're going to get the disease. So one measure is to ensure that people don't stay in water. With regard to the mosquitoes, then you should have mosquito repellent or sleep in a mosquito net. The mosquito-borne diseases will be there as long as there's stagnant water around. So if you've overturned your flower pots or if you have puddles, you must cover it with soil or treat the water with a bait. Once that's all dry and there's no stagnant water around, then there shouldn't be the vector-borne disease. I mean, usually the flood waters recede quite fast, maybe 2 to 3 days, and then another 2 to 3 days of people trying to ensure there's no stagnant water. So maybe a week.
We also asked Dr. Shalima what people need to do to prepare ahead for a flood.
For the population themselves, to be aware that although it's a seasonal occurrence, you just never know when it is going to be the big one for them. So they should always be prepared. They should always keep in touch with the local authorities to know when the water is rising very fast. They should have something called a grab bag. A grab bag is something which you have your important documents in there, your birth certificate or your bank book or bank account. And if you have diabetes or high blood pressure, make sure you have medications in there. You have a flashlight. You have some biscuits or dried food or chocolate or something. Mm-hmm. And a change of clothing. So every time you see the water is rising up, you know, okay, I can always grab this bag and run away somewhere. And you should always prepare yourself for the flood by ensuring you know where or how or what is your evacuation route, which is the highest point in your kampung. And to go there, what is the route, the safest route to take without drains or potholes. So those are measures which the local villagers or the people in flood-prone areas should do beforehand. And also having this awareness of water safety, that the water shouldn't be something to be played with.
So that was Associate Professor Dr. Shalima Abdullah, Vice President 3 from Mercy Malaysia, with some advice for those living in flood-prone areas.
And last year on our Health and Living segment, we also discussed how the floods can affect people with chronic diseases, if you have diabetes or hypertension, so people who have very specific medication needs. Mm-hmm. And so here's a clip from that show where Hager Jeevankarnas from the Pharmaceutical Services Program at the Ministry of Health explained how you can prevent running out of medications if you are displaced by a flood.
There are ways to actually overcome the situation because the Ministry of Health has made it easy for patients to actually obtain their supplies, especially in flood-prone areas. The facilities, the health facilities, the clinics and the hospital, the patients actually go and request for a follow-up date with the doctor that is only after the monsoon season is over. And once they do that, the pharmacy departments will actually supply the patients with that much of medicines. And even if they don't, you can always request that I'm in a flood-prone area, so I need those medications that can last me during the duration of the floods, or if there might be any floods at all, and that can happen as well. There's also ways where, if let's just say you are moved to a flood relief center and you are due to take your medicines on that particular time, you can always pass your prescription to the pharmacist or the assistant pharmacist that will be at this flood relief centers. They will go by boat to the nearest health facility and get for you your medicines according to your prescription. And in the case where you have lost your prescription, you can always ask the doctor, medical officer that is present at the health facility, or a medical officer that is present in the nearest clinic. It might not be the clinic that you're going to, but the nearest clinic to actually, government clinics, to actually help you write a new prescription. In that prescription, we have actually a way to write it. We will normally write a flood victim or mangsa banjir, and we will give a maximum amount of medicines for 1 month. So these are all the types of actually procedures and actions that we can take to ensure that patients who do not have access to their medicines or have lost their medicines or their medicine have been destroyed by the flood actually have continuous supply of medicines throughout.
So, on that note, you can call the National Pharmacy Call Centre. Their call helpline is 1-800-886-722 if you need to inquire about your medication supply, if you should ever, think that you'll be facing an emergency. And also to find out whether a particular area will be affected by floods, residents can find out this information from their health districts of their respective states as well.
And as it's the monsoon season now, urban areas are also prone to flash floods, and we've talked previously about staying safe during a flash flood a few weeks ago on the Daily Digest as well. So you can download that podcast by searching flash flood on our website or the BFM app.
So that's all the time we have for today's show. If you still have any thoughts, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or send us a message on our Facebook page, BFM The Bigger Picture. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest on our BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at at 3 p.m., we'll be continuing the environmental theme on Earth Matters. Juliet will be speaking to Dr. Nadine Rupert about her latest study, looking at pigtailed macaques and how they will be of benefit in oil palm plantations. So this has been the Daily Digest, and we leave you with Bad Water by Carol, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.